Artificial intelligence, or AI, is a rapidly evolving and becoming increasingly capable of performing tasks that require intelligence. So what does this mean for the food industry? I am your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'm talking with TAG Executive Vice President of Regulatory and Scientific Affairs, Dr. Ben Miller, on this evolving technology. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Lisa. Good to be with you.
Yes, it's always great to have you. So we're hearing a lot about AI about everywhere we go these days, but just what applications does it have for the food industry?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we are hearing a lot about AI right now, specifically a lot of these large language models that exist like ChatGPT and Google Bard. And so I think that sparked a lot of interest in the topic in general, you know, and we have seen some literature lately in the kind of peer-reviewed literature space around AI uses, specifically for food safety. So I think some areas where we're seeing that emerge is, one, in pathogen detection, so use of microscopy for more rapid pathogen detection for things like produce. So can we train visual AI models to identify things like E. coli or salmonella on the surface of things like leafy greens and lettuce? I think other applications are maybe a little more elusive right now. You know, AI is a broad topic. And so when we have some, you know, specific use cases where we might think about designing a computer program to answer a specific question, and some of that we might classify as AI. You know, I think what we're thinking about more these days is that concept of almost generalized intelligence, maybe not exactly, you know, if we get to that, there is no generalized AI intelligence at this point. Many of the applications are still pretty specific. So even if we go back to like the large language models that we're talking about, those are performing specific tasks that they've been trained to perform on large data sets. Those are probably tools too that people wonder about, well, how would I use these tools like large language models for food safety? And, you know, I think there are some potential applications right now in that space for those tools, but I also want to caution people that large language models aren't really search engines. They're not something you would go and query and say, tell me all there is to know about a particular, you know, piece of scientific literature or research. Anecdotally, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about somebody that used it to prepare a legal brief, and a large language model created a bunch of case law that actually didn't exist. You know, it sounded very plausible. So the reality is that those tools really exist to, you know, put together words in an order that makes sense to the reader, that, you know, really is based on sort of statistical modeling that happens in a very complex way within a neural network. So you can get a plausible answer out of a large language model, but that doesn't mean that it's a truthful answer. And so as it relates to food safety, you know, I would say use those tools cautiously. They can be good for idea generation, but they really aren't going to give you accurate, trustworthy information, you know, and so you're going to want to go do your due diligence and, you know, look it up yourself or call TAG and verify that, you know, what they're telling you is accurate.
Yeah. So what are some of the other challenges that the food industry might face when they start looking at implementing AI for other things, particularly related to food safety?
I think one of the big challenges that's unique, not unique to food safety, I should say, but, you know, it's going to be unique to industry segments where there's not a consistent amount of digitized data available right now. So when we think a lot about our food safety records, some of those exist electronically. Others are still largely handwritten. So to train an AI model, and that's really what you need to get these models to work and identify patterns and data, you need a lot of data to put into those models. And you need to be able to train it either in a supervised way where you're telling it this data, you should interpret it this way, or in an unsupervised manner that's a little more complex. You need a lot of data to get to a point where you're able to start to extract sort of meaningful predictions out of these systems. And you know, by and large, that still doesn't exist today within kind of the broader context of food safety. I think there's going to be spaces where we start to see this emerge more. You know, we talked about the visual identification. I think that's a specific use case. We're going to see more of that in the near term than we are going to say predictive models that can really help identify sort of unforeseen hazards within the food safety space.
So what kind of overall benefits might it provide for the industry?
You know, I think one area that will be interesting and that probably we will start to realize a benefit sooner rather than later might be in a space like traceability. I think, you know, we've heard a lot about traceability. We've heard a lot about blockchain. We don't hear about blockchain as much anymore outside the context of like cryptocurrency, but you know, FDA published the food traceability rule back in November of last year. And what that did was create an expectation anyways of data management within the supply chain. So here we're getting closer to a space where we've got structured data. Now it's not necessarily, there's no data standard associated with traceability data. That may be less of a concern in terms of sort of AI training. It always helps to have structured data though. So I think we're going to see potential applications, and this might be on FDA's end, of being able to use traceability data during an outbreak to more rapidly identify the potential source of an outbreak. So that's one example. But again, that's in a slightly more data-rich environment than exists today. And so that rule takes effect in 2026. So I think, you know, cohesive real world applications are still a ways off. That said, you know, FDA has demonstrated its interest in using large data sets, especially in terms of import data, to identify shipments of seafood, for example, as part of its import program. And they're using AI in that setting right now and have been since about 2018, 2019, to identify more violative or sort of higher risk incoming shipments of certain types of seafood. So, you know, the agency's identified where it has a data-rich environment that it's open to using data to really streamline some of its regulatory activities. And I think we can see potential similar applications to an industry within terms of, you know, supply chain data, even outside of the traceability applications that we were talking about.
Okay. Sounds like there's some real potential for AI in the industry, but we're probably just not quite there yet, but something to kind of keep an eye on and that we would expect to keep evolving. So go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to add, you know, I think, right, we have to think about, you know, what are potential data sources as an industry and, you know, how can we create data that might inform future models as well. So right. That's going to be an active part of the conversation over the next few years. So, and I know here at TAG, we're interested in tracking this as an issue and, you know, helping people that we work with identify, you know, ways they can start to think proactively about data structure that might set them up for, you know, potential AI applications in the future.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. So thank you so much for your insights. It seems like you're kind of at the front end of the curve of this. So that's great to hear and to keep track of how it moves.
Yeah,
so So we'd also like to thank our viewers for joining TAG Talks on current and impactful industry trends and events. To stay tuned to all things food safety and public health, click subscribe and hit the bell to be notified of new videos. Then be sure to click Insights to subscribe to our weekly articles. Thank you again, Ben.
Thanks, Lisa.